April 10th, 1969, Dan Graham. The subject is the artist. The object is to make art free. The art world stinks. It's made of people who collectively dig the shit. Now it seems to be the time to get the collective shit out of the system. Where does the cycle begin? Let's begin with the individual painter or sculptor ensconces high in his locked world, making his pile of shit. Perhaps he's really shitting in his mind's eye on the world, having ingested art information and raw material from the shared world, pissing his time away. The labor of his love perhaps is redeemed to be realized at some other time. The stuff is transformed when it is transposed into imposed higher values. First, a gallery, then perhaps a museum, and further extended by translation into the data of art information when reproduced in an art magazine, at which point the artist, seeing the transposition, is pissed off. As time is transposed, money is transposed into private worth for the artist as a high quality for the collector and art critic in this business society. The art world is a collection of people who dig the dirt or pay the artist to dig it for him to get a piece of the action, the games people play for personal fun and profit, a profitable experience. Everybody has their private parts to contribute for the media. It's just another slice of life and entertainment. It's time, it seems, to leave all this shit behind. The art world is poisoned. Get out of the country or take a radical stance. According to the dictionary, root, the root of radical, and the root of root are the same. Does dirt or evil really have roots? Should art be a lever against the establishment, make art dangerous? But art is only one item among the dangerous commodities being circulated in the society, and unattractive as it may be, one of the less lethal. Withhold, a closed system dies of suffocation. The writer in the past has been presented with an analogous problem. All magazines, in order to survive, are forced to present a well-known point of view to identify readers with advertisements, just as in the past, the structure of the book as object function to repress the author's private interior perspective or vision of life to the private reader who has bought the unique illusion as he reads through the narrative, linear, progressive, continuous from beginning to the vanishing endpoint, his perspective as supposed to be altered by a novel insight into the world. He has changed. In Marx, Zola Brecht's time, he hopefully motivated to change effect into effecting change back into the outside world. Magazines, art magazines, continue this fiction of assuming private points of view, whose sum they must assume to be the collective view of its readership and advertisers. They depend exclusively for their economic existence on selling ads to galleries for the most part. For what it's worth to the readers, who will buy it? The critic who must sell it? The quality in art is all that counts. Time is money, which counts. Man is the measure of all things. For the writer and recently some so-called conceptual artists, there is a simple solution. Buy the ads himself. The cycle thus feeds back on itself, invents oneself, and it's a free society. Actually, not the artists, the galleries, the collectors, the critics, or the art magazines to support the structure at all, but the United States government equals you and me, geared to the corporate needs, which through tax structures make it profitable to run a non-profitable art business, to buy and donate works to museums, parentheses, in the process serving the sole purpose of feeding artists and Madison Avenue types in the overall process of making a lot of money for yourself, and parentheses, etc., etc., etc. The conceptual artist conceives of a pure art without material base, conceived simply by giving birth to new ideas, an art that ideally mean and not be of baseball or Monopoly in the den, but without ball, bat, gravity, dice, or money. But it's free like sex, with a minimum of two people, subject, object, inside, outside, yin, yang, receiver, sender, people who take pictures of each other just to prove that they really existed. Anyone can play, making their rules as they go along. The artist labored under the myth of trying to define himself and his time. In terms of his work, his unique contribution, his raison d'etre, rather than be defined by society in their image. Art is an inevitable part of a larger order of society, its language and world shared and interdependent with the language, vision, and stuff of its specific time, life, place, and function. All human brains perceive and think partially in symbols, which have a relationship to external signs available to all, which reduce to various interrelated language systems, which relate to the larger social order at a given moment. What does the artist have in common with his friends, his public, his society? Information about himself, themselves, and all ourselves, which is not reduced to ideas or material, but shares in both categories as it has a past, a present, and future time and space. It is neither subjective or objective truth. It simply is. It is both residue object, neutral ethereal, media transcribed, transcribed upon, / translation, translating the content of single and collective man's internal and external position, work, ideas, activities. The artist is not a machine. The artist shares in mankind's various media of expression, having no better secrets nor necessarily seeing more inside or outside of things than any other person. Often he is more calculating. He wants things to be as interesting as possible, to give and have return pleasure, to contribute to life-enhancing social covenant. Perhaps young artists with their new naivete having replaced the old naivete of their fathers. My opinion, or latter, we must go back to the old notion of socially good works as against the private aesthetic notion of good work, i.e. art to go public.